This information is actually based on a report that has just been released by FAO and WFP, and the report itself is actually based on a mission that a crop and food security assessment mission of FAO and WFP, which went to South Sudan in October, November, and they traveled to almost all the states of South Sudan. So what we have gathered is this year's cereal production in particular, but overall crop production was much lower than expected. It is below average. And on top of it, there are a lot of internally displaced people, but also a lot of returnees, and conflict and intertribal conflicts have also displaced a lot of people. So a combination of these factors actually has created a situation where we have decided to warn the international community, but also the government of South Sudan, to take necessary measures.
This summer, the West was shocked at the reports and the images coming out of the Horn of Africa during what were probably the worst months of drought and famine there. Aid organizations had been sounding the alarm, but not enough steps were taken to prevent the disaster that ensued there. Are you hopeful that this warning now will have an effect?
Yes, it will have an effect, but actually, to go back to the problems that we have faced from last summer, specifically in the Horn of Africa, mainly in Somalia, where famine conditions have been declared, the situation has improved quite a lot, actually, with the response of the international community. There was always an argument of whether the response was timely and did we really respond in time, and that the international community could do better in doing that. But given the conflict situation and all in Somalia, yes, there was actually quite a response. And as you may have gathered a couple of weeks ago, there was an improvement in the situation in Somalia, although we are still finding a lot of people that are in need of assistance. So with that context now, we are still asking now the same kind of diligence, or even a better diligence, from the international community to respond to the unfolding food security situation in the South Sudan.
In the report, you speak of food insecurity and of people who are severely food insecure.
Yes.
Can you tell us what exactly does this mean?
Exactly. The overall population that we have estimated to be food insecure is about 4.7 million people. That is almost half of the population of South Sudan. Out of that, 1 million are severely food insecure. This is people who are at the threshold of, we have several categories, but at a threshold of really going hungry for days. And this is the situation we're warning of. And now we are saying this situation may actually deteriorate depending on the rainfall situation from April. And we are monitoring the situation closely. And if the rains that are supposed to come in April don't come, actually this number that is now severely food insecure could also go up. But overall now, we are estimating more than 2.7 million people needing overall food assistance, with this 1 million being immediate. But that number can go up to 3.3 million if the situation deteriorates from April and there is no good rainfall.
So we're talking about people who depend on agriculture for food?
This is general agriculture, which includes crops and livestock, and to some extent also there is fishing on the White Nile River. So the overall decline that we have seen is especially in crop production, which has declined drastically, and the country now needs to import more than half of the requirements in the country. From the annual requirement, more than half need to be imported. Some will be imported commercially, of course, from neighboring countries like Uganda and others. But also there needs to be a lot of food aid that needs to come in.
Now, you yourself was mentioning that the problems derive both from lack of rainfall, but also from a situation of conflict in the country, which has been in the news a lot recently, seeing it became independent just last July. And we've been seeing a lot of inter-ethnic violence since then. What reports do you have from your people on the ground as to getting aid to the people and helping them break this cycle of poverty and violence?
You have touched actually the main point which is leading. I mean, South Sudan is a very lush and very promising with a big potential, but it needs development. There is the infrastructure is very low. But the major problem which is hindering all this development at the moment and also a legacy of years of conflict and now intertribal conflicts across the border, there is tension also. All these things together actually is hindering using the potential that South Sudan has. So conflict is at the root cause of the food insecurity of the population. So on top of it now is this scanty rainfall that has the rainfall situation also aggravated the overall situation. So yes, the South Sudanese government together with neighboring countries through IGAD, the African Union, the UN and the international community are trying to solve the problems of conflict, which are one of the root causes of the problems in South Sudan and the food security problems that we're seeing in South Sudan. So that would be one of the major issues. But also development and infrastructure and all these also are the other side of the coin, which also would help the peace and the security also. So they are feeding each other. The underdevelopment and poverty on the one hand, but conflict on the other are feeding on one another. So there has to be a breaking of the cycle through investment in the medium to longer term.
You are an economist, and economists usually really have their finger on the pulse of the situation. Are you hopeful that this new nation may in fact find within itself the strength, the resources to build and develop?
We need to be hopeful generally. And with the potential that South Sudan has, there is always hope. But there are a lot of difficulties, infrastructural difficulties, security difficulties, all these. And on the other hand, also even the resources that the country has, which is oil, the export of it and whatever is now in jeopardy. It's the biggest income for the government. So all these factors actually are playing against it. However, with all these problems, the potential of South Sudan could be turned around, no doubt.
Thank you very, very much. Is there anything you would like to add to that?
I think generally the response of the international community, this is a humanitarian situation, of course, but immediately we need to have a parallel move into medium to longer term development. This is investing in the agricultural sector, whether it is through the provision of agricultural inputs, tools, other technological things, and building the infrastructure of the country. The ministries of agriculture in different parts of the country need investment. Roads and others are also one of the bigger things to connect surplus areas with deficit areas. So when we think of humanitarian intervention, let's make it also think of the long term also together.
As an economist, in this moment of great difficulty in developing nations, of economical crisis, are donors in crisis as well?
Well, yes, the overall global climate generally will have a problem on development assistance as well as humanitarian assistance. But so far, I suppose most of the countries that have faced now humanitarian problems, I think the international community was generous, and we need to commend the international community's response to these problems. However, these are recurring problems, and the need for really longer-term engagement, which needs billions of dollars, need to be really the answer for this. And there is a huge interdependence on the development of these countries and developing their potential means a market also for the international global economy. So these things are interdependent, and we need to really look at it from that point of view.